Good morning and welcome to Occupy the Airwaves. Today I wanted to talk about another step in the increasing totalitarian march toward a complete police state where no dissenting view is allowed at all. They use bannings, they use censorship, they attack social media, they fire people, foreshadowing, and they put people in prison for saying things that our ruling overlords don't want to be said. The most recent one was the sudden firing of Tucker Carlson on Monday, just completely out of the blue, or so they say. So why was he fired? Well, he doesn't go along with the dominant narrative, and his last show was an example of that. But I thought first I would play an example of what our overlords like to hear instead. If they have an agenda, if they have a narrative, they want all the news readers to be in line with it. And I'm sure some people have heard this before, but I'm going to play it anyhow because it's just an example of the kind of verbal abuse to our ears and our minds that most TV is all about. Most TV so-called news, which is basically they don't give you news, they give you propaganda. They give you the narrative that your ruling overlords want you to believe. And a lot of people believe it.
The sharing of biased and false news
has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
And the thing is, Tucker Carlson is the only one out there on regular TV who goes against the dominant narrative. And for a while, they tried to just tell liberals self-censor like crazy. If you tell them that Tucker Carlson is a racist, misogynist, transphobic right-winger, well, then anytime you say, hey, well, you know, Tucker Carlson makes some sense. Listen to this, what he said. Liberals will cover their ears and go, nah, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell it to me. I don't want to hear it. Because they self-censor. It's absolutely amazing that they are so willing to cut themselves off from information or differing views or differing facts to what their owners tell them to believe. But anyhow, recently, Tucker Carlson, who we are told is racist and right-wing, spoke up for the four Americans who the Biden Department of Justice, boy, is that ever an oxymoron now, is indicting for exercising their right to free speech. I'm pretty sure that most people haven't heard this because it doesn't make it onto the normal American TV or radio or the little news that your computer pushes on you when you turn on your computer, which is big on celebrity gossip and then the absolute nonsense that is the dominant narrative. But yeah, they are going to throw people in prison, four Americans in prison, for speaking out against the war in Ukraine, which is, of course, a U.S.-pushed war. The Ukrainians tried to sue for peace three times last February and March, and each time the Americans and the Brits went in there and told them, no, you will fight to the last Ukrainian, and they aren't kidding. They want every Ukrainian dead, it certainly seems to me, so they can sweep in there and take over that sweet Ukrainian black soil that is the best farmland in Europe. That's the only reason I can see for trying to kill every last Ukrainian. And again, I'm quoting top American officials. But an Australian, Caitlin Johnstone, who I like to read because she is a very good writer and she pays attention, she actually has put out an article on these four Americans who are going to go to jail for exercising their right to free speech. She's an Australian. This is called, and this is on consortiumnews.com, Biden DOJ indicts four Americans for weaponized free speech. And again, Tucker Carlson is the only American newscaster who talked about this. But according to any liberal you ask, he's racist. Yeah, he's racist. The Biden administration's Department of Justice has just charged four members of the African People's Socialist Party for conspiring to act as agents of Russia by using speech and political action in ways the DOJ says weaponize the First Amendment rights of Americans. And they use that word a lot. Anything they don't like, they say has been weaponized, as if it's a war, right? Well, it is a war. It's a war against the American people. But anyhow, the Washington Post reports, quote, federal authorities charged four Americans on Tuesday with roles in a malign campaign pushing pro-Kremlin propaganda in Florida and Missouri, expanding a previous case that charged a Russian operative with running illegal influence agents within the United States, unquote. Yes, by the way, one of those men that was arrested in St. Louis. That's pretty local to us. You would think you would have heard about it, right? I bet you didn't. The FBI signaled its interest in the alleged activities in a series of raids last summer, at which point authorities charged a Moscow man, Alexander Viktorovich Inakov, with working for years on behalf of Russian government officials to fund and direct fringe political groups in the United States. Among other things, Ivanov allegedly advised the political campaigns of two unidentified candidates for public office in Florida. Inakov's influence efforts were allegedly directed and supervised by officers of the FSB, a Russian government intelligence service. It's like the FBI. Now authorities have added charges against four Americans who allegedly did Inakov's bidding through groups including the African People's Socialist Party and the Uhuru Movement in Florida, Black Hammer in Georgia, and an unidentified political group in California, part of an effort to influence American politics, unquote. AFP reports that the conspiracy charges carry a sentence of up to 10 years, with three of the four APSP members additionally charged with acting as unregistered agents of Russia, which carries another 5 years, which, by the way, Hunter Biden should be charged under American laws, which, you know, you can agree with them or not, but he did not register as a foreign agent either for the stuff he was doing in Ukraine or in China. He should be charged, but instead he gets off scot-free, remains at large and rich. Well, these four Black Americans are going to go to prison for 10 years for exercising their rights to free speech. Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service allegedly weaponized our First Amendment rights, freedoms Russia denies its own citizens, which is a lie, to divide Americans and interfere in elections in the United States, said Assistant Attorney General Matthew Olson in the DOJ's press release regarding the indictments, adding, the department will not hesitate to expose and prosecute those who sow discord and corrupt U.S. elections in service of hostile foreign interests, regardless of whether the culprits are U.S. citizens or foreign individuals abroad, unquote. So in other words, they didn't get anywhere with that whole Russiagate nonsense where they indicted 10 Russians for putting up Facebook ads because they didn't expect them to show up, but the lawyers did show up and they said, okay, well, let's see what evidence you have. Oh, evidence? We didn't think we'd have to have evidence because we didn't think you'd show up, so we don't have any evidence. We want a continuation of the trial. Now, the judge should have said, this is a mistrial. You're supposed to be ready for trial at the time the trial starts. You're not supposed to be like, oops, you called our bluff. Oops, our bad. We need more time. No. Whatever. Eventually they dropped it because they didn't have any evidence. So now they're going after Americans. And Glenn Greenwald tweeted, this is an absolutely remarkable and chilling indictment. Several African Black leftist groups and activists are being charged with felonies for posting memes and other political content against the war in Ukraine, protesting racial injustice allegedly on behalf of Russia. Okay, this is back to Caitlin. The superseding indictment containing these charges consists of a lot of verbal gymnastics to obfuscate the fact that the DOJ is prosecuting U.S. citizens for speech and political activities in the United States, which happen not to align with the wishes of the U.S. government. The grand jury alleges that the aforementioned Ivanov directed these Americans to publish pro-Russian propaganda and information designed to cause dissension in the United States, which is about as vague and amorphous an allegation as you could possibly come up with. You're going to put people in jail for 10 years for that? Have you ever listened to the people on CNN or MSNBC talk about sowing dissension? For the record, Amali Shalita, the founder and chairman of the African People's Socialist Party and one of the four Americans named in the indictment, has adamantly denied ever having worked for Russia. Earlier this month, before charges were brought against them, the Tampa Bay Times quoted him as saying, I ain't ever worked for a Russian. Never, ever, ever. They know I have never worked for Russia. Their problem is I've never worked for them, unquote. See, facts don't matter when you're an empire and you create your own reality. But Caitlin says, again, she's an Australian, but she understands better than most Americans at this point, it seems, what free speech means. So she says, it's important to note that this should not matter. Under the First Amendment, the government is forbidden to abridge anyone's freedom to speak however they want and associate with whomever they please, which necessarily includes being as vocally pro-Russia as they like and promoting whatever political agendas they see fit, whether that happens to advance the interests of the Russian government or not. The indictment alleges that the four Americans engaged in agitprop by writing articles that contained Russian propaganda and disinformation. But even if we pretend that's both A, a quantifiable claim, and B, a proven fact, propaganda and disinformation are both speech that government is constitutionally forbidden from repressing. It's not reasonable for the government to just dismiss the First Amendment on the grounds that it is being weaponized. You can't have your government dictating what speech is valid and what counts as agitprop and disinformation, because they'll always define those terms in ways that benefit the government, thus giving more power to the powerful and taking power away from the people. You can't have your government dictating what political groups are legitimate and which ones are tools of foreign government, because you can always count on the powerful to set such designations in ways which benefit themselves. There's also the brazen hypocrisy of it all. The U.S. government is constantly engaging in foreign influence operations with outfits like the National Endowment for Democracy, and there's a link, which was set up to help foment coups and color revolutions and advance U.S. information interests overtly in ways the CIA used to do covertly. It's kind of bizarre because Time magazine in 1996 bragged about how the United States influenced the Russian election. They got Yeltsin elected even though only 2% of the Russian population supported him. They even made a movie about it. They made a comedy. They thought it was funny. It's called Spinning Boris. They thought it was funny. They made a movie about it. They bragged about it. And now they're pretending like Russia's influence in our elections, when Putin has said very clearly, and Lavrov, it doesn't matter who's president of the United States. The foreign policy marches on. They don't use the word deep state, but yeah. Deep state. They have their own policy, and it doesn't matter who the president is. Back to Caitlin. As commenter Brian Berletic noted on Twitter, quote, "The U.S., through the National Endowment for Democracy, has created armies of organizations carrying out malign influence operations around the world, including here in Thailand. When the Thai government attempts to stop this activity, the U.S. embassy shouts, 'Free speech!'" Thailand's government and others around the world could easily cite this move by the U.S. Justice Department to target and uproot U.S.-funded organizations doing exactly this and worse, unquote. And you know they probably should, but it is true that every time a government tries to say, "Hey, you are not allowed to spend millions of dollars in our country to overthrow the government," the U.S. government does yell, "Free speech, free speech." But in America, if you speak out against the war in Ukraine, which is backed and pushed by America once again, well, then they say you are a Russian bot and you need to go to jail for 10 years. The hypocrisy is amazing. Back to Caitlin. So for the U.S. government to now claim it's legitimate to start throwing U.S. citizens in prison for a decade because they publish propaganda for another country is absurd and more than a little scary. The most powerful government in the world needs more political dissent at home, not less, and here they are trying to turn it into a crime. When they claim the members of the APSP published propaganda and promoted dissension, what they really mean is they engaged in speech and political activism that the U.S. government does not like. The spin masters will try to spin it, the legal mumbo-jumbo will try to obfuscate it, but that's what is happening. Don't let them conceal this from you. They're not worried about Russian propaganda. They're worried you'll stop listening to U.S. propaganda. And that, of course, is exactly why they fired Tucker Carlson. Because Tucker Carlson was the only one who not only talked about these four African-American socialists who spoke out against the war, but he says a whole lot more. For instance, he opposes the U.S. occupation of Syria and the stealing of the oil. He criticized Trump when Trump had General Soleimani assassinated to stop the peace treaty between Saudi Arabia and Iran. That was actually, I think it was in 2020 when they assassinated General Soleimani, who was there on a peace mission to try to get a peace treaty between Iran and Saudi Arabia. But here we are, you know, 3 years later, and they did it anyhow. So killing Soleimani was an outrageous war crime, and it didn't work anyhow because Iran and Saudi Arabia still made peace. He opposes the war in Ukraine. He stands up for free speech. He's against forced medical experimentation. He's against sterilizing children with powerful cancer drugs they use off-label to stop normal growth and development. And so the last show he did, there's two reasons they might have fired him so quickly. Because at the end of the show, he says, "See you next Monday." So this was obviously a shock to everybody. Two things he did was he criticized the power that Big Pharma has over most media. And I believe it was in 1996 under Bill Clinton. Not sure about the exact year. But it used to be illegal for the drug companies to advertise drugs on TV. That was just illegal. And then all of a sudden they go, you know what? You can advertise drugs on TV. And now the drug companies, well, they own the media, basically, which is what Tucker Carlson said last Friday. So that might be one reason they fired him. And the other one was he said that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was the only person brave enough to stand up against Big Pharma, and that is why he was being attacked. Okay, so again, like I said, liberals believe that Tucker Carlson is a racist right-winger, and as I just said, he's the only one that talked about these African-American socialists who spoke out against the war in Ukraine. And he also practically endorsed RFK Jr. and had him on his show. Well, now, how are you going to get liberals who conceivably would like the kind of things that RFK Jr. is saying, just like his daddy? You know, he's for free speech. He's against war. He's for the environment. He's for helping the American people, spending money here to help the American people instead of shoveling off to dictators and other countries. I mean, this might break through the liberal mindset that says, I can't listen to Tucker Carlson, if Tucker Carlson starts allowing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to be on his show, because he will be, or he would have been, the only network person that would have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on his show. We know that because he is the only one that had Tulsi Gabbard on his show. Now, Tulsi Gabbard is an example of how the ruling class deals with dissident voices and classic liberal voices nowadays. Now, of course, back in the 60s, they blew John F. Kennedy's head off, and then they blew Martin Luther King. Well, they shot him. I don't think they blew his head off. And then they killed Robert F. Kennedy. Also, all three of those men were powerful voices against the deep state. Back then they called it Secret Team. Fletcher Prouty calls it the Secret Team. And then some people call it the establishment. Some people called it the powers that be. Whatever. It's the same thing. They spoke out against it and they all got killed. Well, people were pretty upset about that. Americans were pretty upset about that. Basically, November 22nd, 1963 was a coup. It was a coup in the United States against the elected government of the United States by the unelected CIA. Alan Dulles ran that operation, ran that assassination, helped cover it up. They put him on the Warren Commission, the chief suspect, the actual murderer. They put him in charge of investigating the murder. Unbelievable, and yet it happened. So really, we haven't had a democracy for the last 50-60 years, however long it's been, I guess 60 years. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is brave enough to stand up and go, you know what? What my uncle stood for, what my father stood for, the American people still want, and I am going to be that kind of Democrat, the old-fashioned kind, not the kind now that is all identity politics and virtue signaling and flag waving, oh, look at me, I'm such a good person kind of Democrat. No, a standard liberal Democrat believes in making the country better for everybody in the country. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is about that. And only Tucker Carlson would have had him on, so they got rid of him. And so what they did with Tulsi Gabbard was, when she ran, she was pretty standard liberal Democrat too. The first time there was a debate, they allowed her to speak. And Google registered that there was millions of hits. Who is Tulsi Gabbard? As Americans saw Tulsi Gabbard for the first time, they went, oh, wow, I like her. I like what she's saying. So the next time, they didn't let her speak. Then they took her totally out of the debates. And then, you know, all this virtue signaling, all this identity politics. When Kamala Harris dropped out of the presidential race because everybody hated her and she got like 1% of the vote, the news media, the standard news media, said, oh, now there are no more women of color in the Democrat race. What are you talking about? There's Tulsi Gabbard. Ain't she a woman? Ain't she a person of color? Yes, she is. But it doesn't matter that she fit into their identity politics slot. She didn't fit into their dominant narrative slot. So since she didn't go along with the DNC narrative, they disappeared her. They disrespected her, and they disappeared her. And they said there was no more women of color left in the race when it was a flat-out lie. That was disinformation, as they call it now. But did anyone get in trouble? Did anyone get fired for that? No, I don't think so. Anyhow, people are speculating like crazy on why they fired him. And this is from the Midwestern Doctor at Substack.com. And he says, Tucker Carlson was abruptly dismissed from Fox News sometime between Saturday 4/22/23 and Monday 4/24/23. Many believe the 10-minute segment he made on 4/19/23 caused Fox News to cancel the most popular news host on national television, despite it significantly damaging the network's financial revenue. And I would like to point out that MSNBC did the same thing to Phil Donahue back in 2003 when he was the only TV host speaking out against the U.S. invasion and attack on Iraq. Even though he was the most popular cable TV, they fired him anyhow. Because it isn't about popularity. It isn't about ratings. It's about, do they toe the line? Do they go along with whatever their overlords tell them to say? If they don't, they get fired. So back to the Midwestern Doctor. Given the importance of what he said here, I hope his firing results in many more people seeing that segment. And I'm going to play part of it here. Again, he goes up against Big Pharma and he endorses Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Oh, and he points out the hypocrisy of the United States. And again, when they do their 180s, you have to believe whatever they say. You have to say whatever they say. Even if they change it 180, then you just go along with it again. He points out an example of that. It's worth listening to.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Sometimes you wonder just how filthy and dishonest our news media are. You'll be in the shower and you'll think, they're bad, but how bad are they? Well, here's one measure of their badness. You can try this at home. Ask yourself, is any news organization you know of so corrupt that it's willing to hurt you on behalf of its biggest advertisers? Anyone who do that is obviously Pablo Escobar level corrupt and should not be trusted. What would that look like? That level of corruption. Well, imagine that the Trump administration had made it mandatory for American citizens to buy MyPillow. That's one of Fox News' biggest advertisers. Imagine the administration declared that if you didn't rush out and buy at least one MyPillow and then at least another booster pillow, you would not be allowed to eat out. You couldn't re-enter your own country. You couldn't have a paying job. MyPillow, they told you with a straight face, was the very linchpin of our country's public health system. Now imagine as they told you that Fox, as a news organization, endorsed it, amplified the government's message. Imagine if Fox News attacked anyone who refused to buy MyPillow as an ally of Russia, as an enemy of science. And then imagine that Fox kept up those libelous attacks even as evidence mounted that MyPillow caused heart attacks, fertility problems, and death. If Fox News did that, what would you think of Fox News? Would you trust us? Of course you wouldn't. You would know that we were liars. Thank heaven Fox News never did anything like that, but the other channels did. The other channels took hundreds of millions of dollars from big pharma companies, and then they shilled for their sketchy products on the air. And as they did that, they maligned anyone who was skeptical of those products. At the very least, this was a moral crime. It was disgusting, but it was universal. It happened across the American news media. They all did it. So at this point, the question isn't who in public life is corrupt, too many to count. The question is, who is telling the truth? There are not many of those. One of them is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert Kennedy knew early that the COVID vaccines were both ineffective and potentially dangerous, and he said so in public to the extent he was allowed. Science has since proven Robert F. Kennedy Jr. right, unequivocally right. But Kennedy was not rewarded for this. He was vilified. He was censored because he dared to criticize their advertisers. The news media called Bobby Kennedy a Nazi, and then they attacked his family. But he kept doing it. He was not intimidated, and we were glad he wasn't. This is one of those moments when it's nice to have a truth teller around. It's helpful because suddenly the stakes are very high. Considering what's happening in Ukraine, a topic most of us don't know much about because the details are not reported. It was a year ago that every media outlet in the United States, from USA Today to the New York Times, told you it was a dangerous conspiracy theory to believe the U.S. government had ever funded secret biolabs in Ukraine. The idea was ridiculous. In fact, it was Russian disinformation. And then one day, in sworn testimony, Toria Nuland of the State Department accidentally admitted that it was true. Yes, she said, there are many secret biolabs in Ukraine. And, quote, we are now, in fact, quite concerned that Russian troops, Russian forces, may be seeking to gain control of them. Wait a second, you may be wondering. Why does the U.S. government maintain secret biolabs in a primitive country like Ukraine? Why not Austria? Why Ukraine? And why didn't we dismantle and remove these secret biolabs when the war with Russia started? Nobody ever explained that. This show was attacked for asking the question. Now we have learned that actually it is far worse than just biolabs. Not only has the Biden administration been maintaining these labs in Ukraine in the middle of a war, it also has, quote, sensitive nuclear technology in Ukraine as well. And no, we're not making that up. They admitted it today.
Following his firing, two respected public figures immediately shared their thoughts on it. And one is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and he tweeted, Fox fires Tucker Carlson 5 days after he crosses the red line by acknowledging that the TV networks pushed a deadly and ineffective vaccine to please their pharma advertisers. Carlson's breathtakingly courageous April 19th monologue broke TV's two biggest rules. Tucker told the truth about how greedy pharma advisors controlled news TV news contests, and he lambasted obsequious newscasters for promoting jabs they knew to be lethal and worthless. For many years, Tucker has had the nation's biggest audience, averaging 3.5 million, 10 times the size of CNN. Fox just demonstrated the terrifying power of Big Pharma. And then Glenn Greenwald points out, as I've been pointing out, Tucker was the cable host who most opposed U.S. proxy war in Ukraine, denounced CIA, FBI, and DHS for systemic lies and corruption, devoted himself to a pardon for Julian Assange, oh, I forgot to say that one, but that's a very important one, objected to regime change efforts in Cuba, and criticized Trump administration's militarism. And then another from Glenn Greenwald. Every Dem, from Bernie, AOC, to Pelosi, Schumer, supports Biden's proxy war, united with the GOP establishment. Left liberals celebrate as one of the only TV hosts opposes remove. Now they echo from in 2003. War opponents are on the other side. During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. George Orwell. In every society, there is always a balance between the intrinsic human yearning for truth and the desire of those in power to monopolize everything, including all information. The more that balance shifts toward the monopolization of information, as history has shown time and time again, the more the government switches toward an autocratic system and all freedoms of the population are lost. The earliest example I know for this phenomenon was shared by an archaeologist decades ago who studied the plays of ancient Greece. He told me there was a point when the plays started becoming more politically correct and no longer called things out for what they were. This, in turn, was followed by the collapse of ancient Greece's democracy and led the archaeologists to argue that if people cannot call things out for what they are, democracies cannot function and will inevitably be taken over by tyrants. And that's where we are in this country. You can't tell the truth. You can get put in prison for telling the truth, but you can't even tell the truth in your own everyday. You can't say what you see. If they tell you, no, you can't see, I'm telling you what you see. It's how many fingers do you see, Winston? I see four. You see five. That is where we are today. I'm back to the Midwestern Doctrine. Similarly, studying the history of almost every evil government that comes to power reveals the same lesson. If you don't want to speak out against what is happening because it's uncomfortable, you have to. Because if you don't, it will be much harder to speak out in the future. At the same time, as censorship and universal deceit increase, the more the public will yearn for someone who speaks the truth. And those who do will often go viral and garner public support most would never imagine possible. Consider, for example, the popularity Joe Rogan has achieved just by being honest with people. And he's another one they trash. Another important example of this was shared by RFK Jr. in his recent presidential announcement speech. His father, Robert F. Kennedy, in 1968 decided to run for the Democrat presidency. At the time, his candidacy was a long shot, but RFK felt compelled to do it because of the state the country was in and focused on bringing up politically unpopular subjects no one was supposed to discuss, since he felt he needed to get those messages out. Instead of dooming his candidacy, it garnered national popularity with the public. He became the leading candidate in the Democrat primary and was loved throughout the country. Or to quote RFK Jr., quote, he had succeeded in uniting America and building a bridge just by telling people the truth, unquote. Sadly, before he could clinch the nomination, like his brother, he was assassinated. And then RFK Kennedy Jr. says, when my uncle left office and when he died in 1963, about 80% of Americans said they trusted their government. Today, 22% trust in the government and 22% trust the press, the lowest level ever. The media is at the lowest ever because we know the media lies to us now, and everyone knows that. Problem is that when the sources of information that we're always used to and that we need to rely on in democracy, when they start lying to us, Americans look for other sources because they're being lied to, and they look for other sources of truth. And when the corporate captive media and the corporate captive government sees other sources of truth, they have to brand those misinformation because they threaten their paradigm. They threaten that orthodoxy. And of course, there is a lot of genuine misinformation. But as we know, a lot of the misinformation is just statements that depart from government orthodoxy. So they have to either censor us or they have to lie about what's true and what's not true. And that amplifies the polarization. It amplifies the hatred, the fear, the insecurity, because, you know, you're being lied to and you're being silenced. Censorship doesn't work from any point of view, though, and it's very, very dangerous. Exactly. So, and he said, the herd instinct is a very strong impulse. And so you're disappointed in people. You are. And you realize that the herd instinct is maybe the strongest instinct. I mean, it may be stronger than the hunger and sex instincts, actually. The instinct, which again is inherent, is to be like everybody else and not be cast out of the group, not to be shunned. That's a very strong impulse in all of us from birth. And it takes over, unfortunately, in moments like this, and it's harnessed, in fact, by bad people in moments like this to produce uniformity. And you see people going along with this, and you lose respect for them. And that's certainly happened to me at scale over the past 3 years. Okay, I'm reading from Tucker Carlson, but I gotta say, same with me. I'm not mad at people, I'm just sad. I'm disappointed. How could you go along with this? You know it's not true, but you're saying it anyway. Because I'm paid to predict things, remember this is Tucker, I try and think a lot about what connects certain outcomes that I should have seen before they occurred. And in this case, there's no thread that I can find that connects all of the people who popped up in my life to be that lone, brave person in the crowd who says, no, thank you. You could not have known who these people are. They don't fit a common profile. Some are people like me. Some of them don't look like me at all, like the Black African Socialists. Some of them are people I despised on political grounds just a few years ago. Because of my personal ties to both the Holocaust and the atrocities that occurred in China during and after World War II, I feel very strongly about speaking out against things I know are wrong that lead to bad places. And we're back to the Midwestern doctor at this point. Much of this is reflected by this famous poem from the era. First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. And again, they're going to put four socialists in prison for speaking out, for going against the dominant narrative, for opposing the war in Ukraine. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. All right, well, that's all I have time for, but I would like to say that it is true that if you do not speak out, if you do not oppose this increasing totalitarianism, this increasing censorship, then they will come for you. But it doesn't matter if they come for you or not. I mean, most people in Germany, of course, they did not come for. Because you know what? If you go along with your owners, with your ruling overlords, they actually don't usually come for you. But it doesn't mean that you're going to have a decent life. Look what happened to people in Germany. I know I saw this woman on Facebook who said that she came from Germany and her father was a big supporter of Hitler he lived in Dresden, right up until the firebombing of Dresden, which was in, I believe, February 1945. So in other words, he'd gone through the whole thing of Hitler, the whole war, and it wasn't until that the United States and Britain started firebombing Dresden, killing hundreds of thousands of people and destroying that city, that he finally went, you know what, this Hitler guy, he's not working out for us. So in any case, all I'm saying is you should do it because it's right, not because they might come for you. That's my opinion. You do it because it's right. It's the right thing to do. And standing up for free speech and freedom of the press is the right thing to do. All right, that's the end of Occupy the Airwaves. See you next week.